This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio at 545 will be our triple option feature. A little after 420, we'll have on with us Will Guillory, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans. And if you wanted to see the tale of two teams last night, man, unbelievable. The Spurs jump out in a big lead over the Pels, and then they couldn't hit. You couldn't throw a rock in the ocean. I mean, they were awful. And the Pelicans came back, pulled away, had a big win last night over San Antonio. So we'll talk to Will about that. In the 5 o'clock hour, I did a mock draft actually Saturday after I got back from Mad Hatter's. And I want to thank Joey and Gwen that did a fine just a super job of setting everything up for Mad Hatters. It was just a great ride, and I know Bobby and I, Mike Hoss, our wives, we all enjoyed the ride, and so great seeing everyone along the route. So when I got back then, I couldn't fall asleep. So I actually did the mock draft, and it's up on WWLradio.com if you want to see it on both X and also on Facebook. Charlie also has his mock draft that we're going to go through. So we'll do that from 5:10 to 5:45, and then it'll be triple option. Then Joe DeLeon will join Steve at 6:25 talking about the NFL Combine. Tonight, the Matt McMahon Show. Charlie, some additions to the Saints coaching staff. One of them, man, I haven't seen him in a while, but Louisiana guy and Terry Joseph, who's been added as the defensive passing game coordinator. He was that along with the secondary coach for University of Texas. And he's bounced around, certainly, the college football world at Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Nebraska, Tennessee, Louisiana Tech. For a stretch, he was a GA at LSU. And then before that, he got his start. He went back at Archbishop Shaw, I think from 99, I think it's 2002. And then for a couple years at Destrehan High School, he was the coach there. Outstanding baseball player at Northwestern State, and got drafted by the Cubs in 1995, played a couple seasons, got into the coaching ranks, and he's got a couple cousins that have made it pretty well there. Mickey Joseph is now the head coach at Grambling State, and certainly Vance Joseph, another cousin of him, is a defensive coordinator with the Broncos. So Terry Joseph comes in, joins the Saints assistant ranks, and we'll see if that's not a split role, which I think will be the case. I think you'll see two guys coaching the secondary, but one of them will be Terry Joseph. And then Kyle Wilbur, who, man, I remember scouting him when he came out of Wake Forest, a linebacker there, got picked in the fourth round in 2012 by the Cowboys, spent six seasons there, and then four seasons with the then Oakland Raiders, and then became Las Vegas Raiders. He got coached in the Cowboys in the special teams ranks by Rich Bisacci. Rich was a former interim head coach of the Raiders. And when Rich was in Dallas, he had Kyle Wilbur, and then he becomes a free agent, and the Raiders sign him because of his connections to Rich Bisacci. And then Rich became the Packers special teams coach in 2023, and he hired Kyle Wilbur to be his special teams quality control coach. And now he joins the Saints to team up with Phil Galliano as the special teams guy. And, Rich Bisacci, for a lot of people here, they remember his time at Ole Miss. He was actually Deuce McAllister's running backs coach at Ole Miss. And I've heard a lot of stories from Deuce about Rich and Rich about Deuce. So Kyle Wilbur be an assistant special teams coach, and Terry Joseph, the defensive passing game coordinator for the secondary. And I think, Charlie, that will be another addition in the secondary to help coach.
Yeah, I imagine so. Real quick with Kyle Wilbur, Rich Bisacci, Mike, he should have become the Raiders' full-time head coach after that stint where he was the interim and they make the playoffs. They lose close to Joe Burrow, and then they end up moving on from him. He goes to Green Bay, and this is where the connection with Wilbur comes in, because Wilbur played with the Raiders from 2018 through 2021.
And actually played for Rich in Dallas,
right,
when he was there.
From 2012 through 2017. So all about connections with the Green Bay Packers as a coach from 2023 to the present as a special teams quality control coach. So now he's kind of giving that little bit of a boost to the assistant special teams coach. Another really young guy on this staff, Mike, kind of continuing that movement.
35 years old.
Exactly. He had a 10-year NFL career. He's been an assistant coach for back-to-back seasons, and now he's kind of getting that step up to assistant special teams coach.
And Terry's the old man of the bunch. I think he's 51 or 52, somewhere in that
Terry
range.
And Joel Thomas, the running backs coach, they're both like early 50s. I think Joel is 50 and Terry is 51. Yeah. So, yeah.
I knew he was in that range.
They're the quote-unquote old pops of this group. Yeah. I mean, Kellen Moore is just assembling a very young assistant coaching staff, but a lot of very exciting names. Terry Joseph as well. When Tom Pelissero had initially reported that addition, he talked about Kyle Hamilton, who plays for the Ravens right now, someone that Terry Joseph had recruited to Notre Dame when he was with the Notre Dame assistant coaching staff. And then most recently, a guy that we're going to talk about next hour, Mike, Jahdae Barron, who was, you know, the nation's best DB this past year. So he recruited him and developed him at Texas as well.
Yeah, I had a texter say, you know, why they hiring a college coach? And my is, man, look who he's coaching. He ain't coaching no just college players. These guys are playing in the NFL. And so I think it was a great addition bringing in Terry Joseph to the lineup. And again, relationship with younger players. And also, too, he had an eye for talent. Remember, he's been in the college ranks. He can give you another opinion on the top defensive backs in college football, because when you're at Notre Dame and you're at Texas, you know, guess who you're recruiting? You're recruiting the top defensive backs in the country.
And, I mean, he worked with some of them, as I mentioned, with Kyle Hamilton and then also Jahdae Barron. So it's going to be interesting to see what those two bring to the Saints assistant coaching staff. But as I mentioned, man, it's a youth movement in New Orleans, and I definitely appreciate that.
The other thing, too, is you want to try to get everything together, and we'll have a lot of coverage of it throughout the week and also next week with the Combine starting up. Thursday is when the first sort of running and lifting and everything else doesn't tell you a damn thing about football, to be honest with you. It tells you about what type of athlete you are. And the most important thing that come out of the combine is the one-on-one interviews that you do with the coaches and executives in the NFL, and how much you love football, how much it means to you, and also the medicals. And it happens every year. We see two or three guys that we didn't know maybe the seriousness of it, and it comes out that maybe the injury they have is a little bit more serious than we thought. We saw it last year with Newton, the defensive tackle, and he had the Jones surgery. We sort of knew a little bit about Kool-Aid with the foot injury that he was going to have surgery. And I think because of both surgeries, they dropped out of round one, both of them, along with Cooper DeJean, who had a fractured leg. And so medicals do play a difference in where you get selected in the draft. And sometimes even for injuries, you feel this guy could come back from pretty quickly. It does have a negative effect. So we're going to see what happens to Elijah Aroro, who's already pulled out. He's not doing any of the drills. And also Josh Simmons, from Ohio State, who's had a series of knee injuries, and he will have to get that checked out.
And it feels like this year's cornerback class is the one specifically where there's some big-time prospects with major
Benjamin
injuries.
Morrison.
Siobhan Revelle.
Yeah.
For East Carolina.
Got hurt early, too.
Will Johnson, like, not necessarily as serious as, like, the hip injury from Morrison and the ACL from Revelle. It feels like there's a couple of these top prospects from that cornerback room where, you know, maybe.
Because if they were healthy, Charlie, maybe first-round.
First-round pick, picks, guys. For sure. But neither of them are. And so the medicals are going to be the big question with some of these guys.
No question. It happens every year. And again, it's something I learned years ago, and it's from Jim Finks. And he told me, Mike, don't fall in love with the athlete.
Fall in love with the football player.
And he was absolutely right about it. But sometimes with coaches and executives, they ain't not watching these guys on Saturdays. They got other things to do, and they fall in love with the athlete. That's why guys get picked earlier than where they should and don't turn out to be as good as they should. When we come back, we'll have on with us Will Guillory, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeo along with Charlie Long in studio. And again, we'll tell everybody a little after 5 o'clock today, Charlie and I will go through our mock first round draft where we'll give our opinions early on. Pre-combine, and normally it really doesn't change much. There's always a player or two that might make a little bit of a run. And then again, the medicals part, Charlie and I will do that at 5:10. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we have on with us Will Guillory, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans. Will, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And, man, what a crazy damn game last night was between the Pelicans and the Spurs. Man, I was watching us. Oh, God, here we go again. With the Spurs, I actually flipped it off. I had the sound off, and then all of a sudden I turned, and man, the Pelicans got a big lead. And it was a crazy game where, man, the Spurs, they couldn't hit the ocean if they had a rock on their hands in the beach.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was kind of flipped because in the first half, the Pelicans were the team that couldn't score. They ended up with like 14 points in the second quarter. It was rough for a good little while, especially, you know, during the minutes when Zion Williamson's been on the bench. That's been the story the past few weeks, is they've looked really good when he's been out there, and it's kind of, you know, falling apart when he sat, and that was the case in the first half. And then in the second half, I think what really flipped it was the bench. You know, Jose Alvarado came in and played some huge minutes with his pace and his disruptiveness. The rookie, Carlo Mackovich, had a career-high 19 points, scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I think that was a really good showing for them, get some of the young guys involved and get a good win in front of the home crowd. Yeah, I think they needed that kind of energy, you know, heading into Mardi Gras a few days.
No question about it, Will. There was so much talk right before the trade deadline of, man, you know, they might move Jose. And my thing is, what, for second-round picks? Man, let him keep that second-round picks. Man, I want him on my team because he becomes the jumper cable guy. You know, if I need a spark – He can jump my battery off, and that's what he's done for this basketball team. And why deal him away for second round picks? You know what you got in Alvarado, and I think last night was a great example of that.
No, I think you're 100% right, man. I think his energy is so crucial for this team. You could just feel the game just shift whenever he checks into the game because he does so much with the way he pressures the ball, the way he is get them to play faster on offense. You can feel the crowd really get into it when he starts hitting threes and starts chirping a little bit with the other team's point guard. Yeah. Man, I think they just love having him out there. And I think the great thing with him, you've really seen the development from him this year as a real point guard, right? Making those decisions, running the offense, making sure Zion gets the ball in the right spot. So I think you really seen him grow up this season, especially, you know, since DeJounte Murray has gone down and they've really needed that presence. I think he stepped up big time, and I think you're 100% right, man. I think the energy he brings, not just on the court, but in the locker room, is just a huge part of this team's identity. It'd be crazy to deal him away.
Well, you had a great tweet last night about Kelly Olynyk, and when he grabbed his 14th rebound, he finished with 15, but that was the most that he had had in a single game since April of 2021. Mike and I, when we had broken down kind of the return for the Brandon Ingram trade, obviously the first-round pick in 2026 is kind of the key there, but Bruce Brown and Kelly Olynyk, we kind of thought that, you know, and Bruce Brown's been a little bit disappointing early on. He hasn't really found a shot with the Pelicans just yet, but Kelly Olynyk, with a great performance last night, with getting the start, finished with a plus 21, plus minus, 14 points, 15 boards. And, you know, Antonio Daniels keeps mentioning this on the broadcast, that he's a very smart player. He knows where to pass the ball every single time. He's a great passing big as well, but also the rebounding effort, had a lot of great second chance buckets and stuff like that. And just Kelly Olynyk's performance last night.
No, I think he's been a great addition, man. And I think you already hear people with the team talking about he's stepping up, you know, pretty much from day one since he got into the building, you know, speaking up during practices and on the court telling guys, hey, you need to be here, you need to be there, we need to space it a little bit better. Because, you know, they're, as of late, you know, even before they got Kelly, they started playing these double big lineups with two centers and Zion Williamson out there to kind of help with their struggles on the boards. And you saw, you know, they were amazing on the boards last night. They were plus 25, I think, you know, and rebounds last night. And I think Kelly Olynyk obviously is a big part of that. But I think, you know, he's just so different from the bigs that Zion has played with throughout his career. You know, you think a lot of these big, bulky bigs they've put next to Z, like Jonas Valanciunas or Steven Adams or Derek Favors in year one. And Olynyk is much more of a finesse guy. He can space it out to the three-point line. He's had several seasons in his career where he's 4 or 5 assists per game. So he's a guy who can play out on the floor, can move the ball, can make nice passes. And I think, you know, that's a really nice fit next to Z, as a guy who just knows how to play, knows how to space the floor. They can kind of go back and forth, posting up, you know, attacking mismatches. So I think he's been a really great addition. And just having that IQ in the lineup has really helped, you know, just getting the ball into the right places at the right time.
Carlo Makovic, last night, I want to put that on the highlight reel, because if I ever become a free agent, man, I want other teams to see that. It was his career high of 19 points, but also along with Alvarado, he was the spark for this basketball team. And yeah, you've seen his growth, Will, and talk a little bit about it to the audience, about his growth as a player overall.
Yeah, it's been great to see, because, you know, this is a guy who's been waiting for his opportunity for a long time, right? They drafted him a few years ago as kind of a Euro drafted stash guy. They drafted him. He spent the year in Europe. They brought him over. He spent a little time in the G League. He's, you know, spent a whole lot of time on the bench this year. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of belief in his talents, you know, in the building. They really believe in, I mean, you see it on the court. He's a guy who can spread it to the three-point line. He can finish around the basket. He can move his feet. But I think it was just, you know, him getting used to the NBA game, the speed, knowing where to be. You know, things move so fast when you're not used to being out there and not used to playing at this level. But I think you just see the comfort and his confidence growing lately, and now he's really able to show all the things he can do. And I think, like I said, with these double big lineups, you see the versatility and how much it's helping having guys like a Kelly Olynyk or a Carlo Makovic who can play multiple positions and who are comfortable moving around different spots on the court. I think it's really, you know, diversified this offense, and I think it's really helped Zion, where he's not being asked so much to do, you know, spend so much time in the paint, you know, protecting the rim or grabbing rebounds. They have those guys out there, and Z can really focus on his offense. And I think, you know, Carlo's growth has been huge, along with Eve Nisi as well, having two young rookie centers, you know, getting time, especially during the second half of the season, and really growing. I think that's going to be, you know, important for this team looking forward, just to have those additional young pieces on the roster.
Well, looking a little bit ahead, the Pelicans have another matchup against the Spurs. And just from last night's game, where, you know, the Spurs get out to that good start, and as you guys mentioned, you know, that second half, the Pelicans just throttled them. I mean, they went on a 67-32 run to finish that game. And I know the Spurs offense just went dormant. Ice cold was the term that was used multiple times, but they couldn't find anything. But the Pelicans also offensively were taking advantage of a lot of those misses, getting down the court and just hooping. I mean, it was a really nice second half performance from this team. And you got to hope that they'll be carrying that momentum into tomorrow night's matchup as well.
No, you're 100% right. I think the big thing for them is carrying over what they did in the second half, was just playing with pace, playing fast, getting into your sets early, not, you know, playing so much one on everybody, you know, with Zion, right? Whenever it feels like when they're playing these half-court possessions, they kind of give it the Z and just hope he can weave his way through two or three guys and get a bucket. But I think when they're playing faster, that opens up, you know, Trey Murphy getting more opportunities from three, or Jordan Hawkins get just more opportunities from the outside rather than relying so much on getting into the paint. And a big part of that is, you know, getting stops on the defensive end like they were, right? And I think you got to limit De'Aaron Fox. Obviously, he's explosive at the point guard position. But once you take the ball out of his hands, I think you're forcing those other Spurs guys to hit jumpers. And when they're missing, you're seeing the long rebounds. Last night, Jose Alvarado had 9 rebounds because he's out there grabbing a long rebound. And he's off to the races. And I think that's what you want to see more of, that them playing fast and continue to get better on the boards. You know, they're bottom two in defensive rebounding, you know, most of the season. And you know, ever since they've been playing these double bigs, the rebounding rate has gone way, way up. And if you continue to do that, you're just giving more opportunities to these, you know, offensive players you got in with the Pelicans. So that's the two big things you want to see, is them continue to rebound the ball and then just get out and run.
Will, take the Celtics off the board, Oklahoma City. Is the most impressive number three team the Cavaliers that you've seen so far? Because, man, they have sort of set this up that, you know, all chips in, and we're going to try to see if maybe we can catch a series where we can beat the Celtics and maybe get to the finals. Would that be your number three team right now?
Oh, yeah, I think it's no doubt. I think they're just, their cohesiveness and their chemistry is just at a different level. I think probably the Thunder and the Celtics are the only team that can really compare to what the Cavs are doing. Just the ability to kind of read each other's minds when they're out there on the court, and you see the experience they've had. And I think, you know, it's really a credit to them kind of sticking to what they've been doing, right? Because over the past couple of years, you've heard multiple times people talk about, hey, can they make this Mobley and Jared Allen thing work? Can they have these two smaller guards in the backcourt? Do they need to break this thing up? They ended up firing the head coach after last season, and I think you see them sticking with it the way they have and allowing these guys to learn each other and grow and, you know, bump their head a little bit in the playoffs, and you see they just come out better from it. You know, Donovan Mitchell's playing great this year. Darius Garland is having a career year. Evan Mobley has made such a huge jump. He might have a chance to win a defensive player of the year. I think, you know, they can play so many styles. They can play big. They can play small. They shoot 100 threes. It's just so difficult to limit them, you know, in half-court offense especially. And I think what's big for them also now is that they've added a DeAndre Hunter, a bigger body on the wing to come off the bench. Javonte Green, you know, they just got from the New Orleans Pelicans as a buyout. So now they got some of these wings to contest with a Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown in a potential playoff series. So, yeah, I think, man, that Eastern Conference playoffs is going to be a bloodbath between those two teams. And you got the – I mean, it's just a lot of great teams out there. And you also got the Knicks, even though they're struggling against great teams. I think, you know, Jalen Brunson in the playoffs is always dangerous. So I think it's going to be a lot to contend with out there in the East. And then, you know, you always got the Miami Heat lurking, even if they come in as –
Never count it out. Never count it out. Charlie?
Never, ever count them out.
So, Will, we talked about the Spurs matchup tomorrow. I want to get your thoughts on the Phoenix Suns. We talked with Nick Friedell last week about them. And, I mean, they picked up a win over the weekend. They beat the Bulls. Clap, clap, everybody. But 2-8 in their last 10 since the start of February. I mean, this is a team that's kind of collapsed a little bit. They're now 27-30. They're out of the play-in tournament in the Western Conference right now. A team with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. And it just feels like, you know, as far as the disappointing teams in the West, they got to be up there right now. And the Pelicans catching them at a good time when they're really slumping. Their only two wins, Will, since the start of February, where it was an overtime victory against Utah. And then, as I mentioned, that game on Saturday against the Chicago Bulls. Outside of that, they've picked up losses to teams like Toronto. Now, they've picked up some bad losses, or lost to good teams like Denver and Memphis and Houston. But back-to-back losses against Portland, it's a team that's slumping, and the Pelicans are going to catch them at the right time.
I mean, yeah, you call them one of the more disappointing teams in the West. I think they have a chance to go down as one of the most disappointing teams in NBA history. When you consider just how all in they are, they're more all in than any team I can remember in a long time. I mean, they traded all of their picks to go get Kevin Durant, along with Mikal Bridges, along with Cam Johnson, and whatever, you know, little stuff they had left, they went out and got Bradley Beal to add to that piece. And, you know, they're way over the second apron. They're extremely expensive. They don't have any future draft picks. and you're sitting there as like the 11 seed. I mean, we've seen teams go all them like this, and you know, maybe they're a 5 seed and you lose in the first round and you feel disappointed. This team might not even make the playoffs. You got Kevin Durant and Devin Booker over there, two future Hall of Famers, two dudes who won a gold medal last summer. I mean, it's crazy to see how much they've struggled and just like the lack of, you know, any idea how they can get out of this, because they're so, you know, deep in the hole and with the second apron that limits what you're able to do. So it's crazy kind of seeing them struggle the way they have. And I don't really know what you can do to fix it, you know, during this season. I think, you know, when we think about the Pels going against them, obviously it's always about Devin Booker and, you know, keeping him below 50 points, you know, would help. You know, he's had a few different times where he's dropped 50 on the Pels. So as long as you can keep him under control a little bit, that'll help. But, yeah, I mean, this Phoenix team is going to be fascinating to see just how much they can try to salvage this thing. And if they can't, you know, how those personalities respond in the locker room and what happens next.
Will, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I got to tell you this. Listen, it's difficult when you got a team that's not winning and you got to cover them every day, because it's almost like you're writing the same book, the same page in the book every day. But, man, you do one hell of a job, and I wanted to tell you that. I know how difficult it is when you're dealing sometimes with a team that you know is not going to win many games, but you always keep us greatly informed.
Thanks, Will.
No, man, I really appreciate it, man. I'll come on whenever you guys want me to.
Thanks so much. Will Guillory does a great job covering the NBA and also the New Orleans Pelicans. Come back right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. More sports talk. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long. And bad news coming out of Texas A&M in that their preseason All-American, and he was either a first-team or a second-team preseason All-American. He was the SEC Freshman of the Year last year, Gavin Gerhovic. He is out for the season with a shoulder injury. So Gavin is lost with the Aggies. This was a team absolutely loaded across the board. And now it's being reported that even Kendall Rogers, I see, has it out there that he will miss the remainder of the season with a shoulder injury. So, Charlie, that's a big loss for the Aggies.
It's a big loss for the Aggies. It's terrible news for college baseball fans. Gavin Gerhovac is a stud, Mike. And we talked with Joe Healy a couple weeks ago about kind of previewing the SEC. And when he mentioned A&M, who was the preseason number one team, they're still the number one team in the country, he mentioned them as the one team on paper without any holes. And, of course, Jay Shalavilette is going to be, you know, the number one prospect out of college baseball for the 2025 MLB draft and all that good stuff. But Gerhovac was one of those pieces, those key kind of pieces of the Texas A&M machine, so to speak, that when you were previewing them as a roster, he was one of those dogs that they have. So the fact that he's gone for the season and it's been like 2 weeks into it, Mike.
Yow.
Yeah, that's tough, man. And they also recently picked up a loss to Cal Poly. So all the people that were freaking out about LSU's loss to Omaha in that game too.
Come on,
relax.
It's a long season.
It's college baseball. It happens. You know, these upsets will happen from time to time.
Yeah.
But with Gerhovac being out for the season, as I mentioned, you know, not just bad for A&M fans, it's bad for college baseball fans in general. Mike, he is a solid, solid player. And he was poised to have a huge season for the Aggies. So, you know, speedy recovery to him. I don't know if he's a draft-eligible sophomore. I think he'll be back next season for them regardless. So at least they've got that. But, yeah, that's terrible news.
They got a good NIL pipeline, too.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah, it might be pretty good. Want to mention, too, congratulations to LSU women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey, putting up that 750th win yesterday. And, boy, that was one whale of a game to watch as they beat Kentucky, who was 14th ranked, and they beat them 65-58 yesterday afternoon. And, man, that was a give-and-take game between both the Lady Tigers and also the Wildcats. And, again, talk about the SEC, and we've mentioned it so many times about how tough the SEC is in baseball and also certainly in football. Charlie is getting to be that way in women's college basketball, too. You look at South Carolina and LSU, but Kentucky, man, they're starting to piece something together there also to make a run at this. A very, very talented Wildcat team. And I know Kim Mulkey talked about it after the game of, hey, in the SEC, this is really – really difficult when you're talking about going up against these type teams each and every time you get out on the court.
And, Mike, with Notre Dame losing this past week, now Texas has leapfrogged them to number one.
Guess where they in.
Yeah, exactly. The SEC. So, as you mentioned, and it just feels like on the hardwood, the SEC has made major strides.
Major.
Like, especially men's basketball, it felt like for a long time it was kind of the ACC and Big 12 dominated men's hoops. You know, a little bit further back, like the Big East, obviously, we all remember that. But more recently, the SEC has kind of surged, and they've kind of matched, if not even surpassed, the ACC this year. And the Big 12 is kind of having a down year this year, Mike. Like, they've got a couple squads. I watched Houston play Iowa State this past weekend. I'm like, yeah, those are two good teams. But then, you know, you watch Florida play, you watch Alabama play, you watch Auburn play, and it just feels like they're a step above.
Yeah, no question about it. Also, too, with Coach Mulkey, thinking back, and she's told this story, came on a number of times with us, and told the story about she really didn't want to get into coaching. And it was the president of Louisiana Tech at that time, Dr. F.J. Taylor, who talked her into coaching. I think he had good career advice at that time for Coach Mulkey, and 750 wins later, that was some pretty good advice for someone who really didn't think about coaching. That wasn't in kind of her thoughts at that particular time, and Dr. Taylor talked her into coaching. So that was pretty good. Every once in a while, it's sort of like Coach O always tells the story about Dwayne Johnson, the Rock. And one time in practice, maybe Dwayne maybe wasn't given maybe the effort. And he talked quite a bit about Coach O Friday night when it was announced that WrestleMania would return. It'll be the third time here in New Orleans next year. And Coach O was on, he used to call him Duty. That was his nickname. He was like, hey, Duty, if you don't want to do this, why don't you go wrestle? And so Coach O was, Mike, I think that was maybe the best career advice I ever gave anybody. Look what's happened to Dwayne Johnson. He got out of football because of the back injury, became a wrestler, and now became certainly one of the superstars of not only wrestling, but also in the movie world. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. We've had some phone issues, so things are somewhat distorted sometimes. That's what we're going through, but I think we got most of it fixed. Charlie, we talked a little bit about it, but certainly, man, to bring crowds to the city, the Super Bowl, we'll do that, Sugar Bowl. But WrestleMania 42, and it was announced Friday night by The Rock, Dwayne Johnson himself, that that WrestleMania 42 will take place in the Caesars Superdome. And man, the last time they had that here, good gracious. Man, these streets were flooded with wrestling fans from all over the country, and it may not be as big as it maybe was, let's say 20 years ago. And there were some real big name guys that came out of that particular kind of genre when you're talking about The Rock himself was still there, Triple H. So he wasn't just running it, he was actually wrestling. Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Ric Flair, those guys. But to have it back in New Orleans next year, that is going to be a huge economic boost for the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, didn't you say you went to it the last time it was here, yeah, Mike? Yeah. And you said it was a good time?
Man, they had some folks there now. It was absolutely packed. It was a great venue. If you haven't been there, it's really a lot of fun.
I'm not a huge wrestling guy, but I think I might try and see about going just to experience the atmosphere.
No, we
right?
got to bring Coleman. Coleman's the wrestling guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so we got to bring Coleman this year to WrestleMania when it comes in 2026. But certainly a lot of big news. And man, if you talk about stories, the stories that The Rock has about Coach O and Coach O about Dewey, man, he said he never said anything here.
Right.
He said, I couldn't believe it the first time I heard him on the air. I was like, is somebody doing this talking for him? Great stuff. We'll be back with more sports talk here and NFL draft talk right after this break on the Big 870 WWL.